Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Resurrection Power Church of Christ Prayer Line. My name is Apostle David Calendar. I am your host this morning, and Holy Spirit, as always, is our overseer, our director, our commander and chief. He is. And we bless the Lord this morning for giving us another day to be here among the living and to give God praise, glory, and honor. We are excited because tonight is going to be the first night of our revival in the Church of Signs and Wonders Deliverance Ministry. And we are truly excited, blessed to know that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Almighty God, will be there. He's already in the building waiting for the people, his children, the sheep of his pasture, to show up and give him praise and glory, give Jesus praise and glory. So we are excited about this morning. Our evangelist, Darlene Campbell, is going to come in and share the word of God. And we are excited about that. We are going to take a couple of days rest, if the Lord says so, and let her just do the teaching and preaching, because we are going to be singing and preaching and all that stuff and sharing the word and doing a lot of different things in the church on for these five nights. So we got to rest our voice and stuff. So the woman of God is going to come in and help us out, as always, one of our daughters of Zion. And we ask you all to come on and support her as she grow in the things of the Lord. Let's pray. Then we're going to do Holy Communion and listen to some praise and worship. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for waking us up this morning, blessing us with the gift of life. We thank you, O God, because this is the day that you have made, and we are already rejoicing and we are glad. This is a day that we have never seen before and a day that we'll never see again. We pray, O God, that you would impart new wisdom and new understanding in us, not new to you, but new to us, O God. We pray, Father God, as you take us to another realm in you, O God, that you would prepare us to go in that realm, O God, because as we study your word, O God, we ask you to enlighten us with your word by your spirit as we walk this straight and narrow path. Father, we pray, O God, for those that would hear this word on today, that, Lord, that it would be sown on good ground, that the enemy would not be able to steal the word, but those of us that hear this word from this woman of God would grab the word and run with it. They will take it, we will take it and run with it, that the enemy will not be able to steal the word. Father, we pray, O God, that you would impart in her today even the oracles of heaven, that she can release it here on earth to us, your children. We pray for those that would hear the word all over the world, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Egypt, Jerusalem, Brazil, the Caribbean, and Canada, even right here in the United States, and Denmark and Australia, and so on, all over the world. God, we pray as they hear the word, God, and even as they listen to the old message that we both have preached and teach, Lord, we pray that transformation will take place, God. A renewal will take place in the hearts of the people of God. We pray, oh God, today, Lord God, that there will be healing on this line. There will be deliverance on this line. There will be restoration on this line. Father, we pray that you set her heart on one accord with your heart. And Lord, we pray that you will purge her today, that you will cleanse her from every impurity, O God, that only the pureness of God will flow on this line, O God, for this is your line. And Father, we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What's going on here? Okay, Jesus. Lord, 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 Lord. We gotta get on our job, Jesus. Holy Spirit of the living God. Father, we bless your name. We bless your name. We praise your name, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy. Holy Spirit. We thank you for this moment right now. Spirit of the living God, breathe fresh on me. Breathe fresh. Breathe fresh on me right now, Lord. Spirit of the living God. Father, I just thank you and praise you, O God, even for this moment right now. Father, I ask that, Lord God, you set me on this path right now, Lord God, to do what is pleasing to you, Lord. God, let the anointing flow today. Lord, I just pray, O God, for your forgiveness, for your mercy, and for your grace, O God. As Lord, you minister to us today, God. Father, I pray for healing to take place right now. Oh, Father, Lord, I ask for transformation right now, Lord, as I lay hands on this reed of the field, oh God, that represents your body that's been broken for me, and this fruit of the vine that represents your blood that's been shed out for me and spilled at the cross for me. Lord, I ask that you would transform these articles from the natural to the supernatural. And as I partake of these, Lord God, I pray, God, that it would be healing for my natural body, even as your word is healing for my spiritual body. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come in and do a new thing in me and through me. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. After the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh of unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word and to this holy communion. Let us all drink together in Jesus' name. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. For there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The blood. It was nothing else but the blood. the blood of Jesus that wash away all sins and make us whole again. The blood of Jesus. I thank God for the blood. For without the blood, there is no remission of sin. We thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. I am exceedingly grateful for what he has done at the cross. I don't take it lightly. I know that when I do this, when I go in and I do Holy Communion, I feel so much better, so much better. It seems like there's a weight that's been lifted off my chest. So I'm just so excited that God has made a provision by allowing his son to come to the earth and lay down his life for your life and my life. I just thank God that he loved us, the Father, that he loved us so much that he was willing to give his son up for my life. And what a privilege, what an honor to be washed in the blood of Jesus. You know, sometimes we just take Holy Communion in the church building, we just do it like it's nothing. But it's so much the Father has given up for us. We're going to listen to a little worship music for about 15 minutes. And then the woman of God is going to come in and teach us. So just sit back, relax, and listen to some worship music.
Nothing we like that. That's it. I believe in you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. This is a new day. A new day with new expectations from the Lord. We are excited to be on this line on today. And we're excited what God has already begun because he has given us new life for this day. And we are really, really, truly blessed to be part of this day among the land of the living. And I'm not just seeing that because I can see it. I'm seeing it because God has given me another opportunity to be part of this day. I am exceedingly, exceedingly happy about this day. There's so many people that have not made it in today. We are praying. We got some requests on the line. And we've been praying for a man for the last couple of days that is in the hospital from a church here. And they send me messages to pray for this man. And I just got a message this morning to say that he was on the breathing controls and all that kind of stuff. And I just got a message this morning that he is doing much better. It was hard for him to breathe on his own, but this morning they tell me that he is doing much better. And you know, he's still getting a little assist from the breathing machine, but he is doing much better. So we are truly excited about that, you know, because the pastor that this man is under don't believe in all that stuff. You know, he said, well, maybe God will heal you when you were dead. And I don't believe in that. I believe that healing must take place here on earth. You know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen here on earth. You may be healed physically or spiritually. You might not see the healing, but you're already healed on the inside. But the people say stuff like you're going to be healed when you get to heaven. And I tell them, they got mad with me, because I tell them there's not going to be any sickness in heaven. There's not going to be any need for healing in heaven, because he told you in Revelation there's not going to be any more weeping or mourning, no more crying in heaven. So why are you going to tell people that they're going to heal when they get to heaven? No, they're not going to be healed in heaven. Because God said there ain't going to be no sickness in heaven. Okay, so, I mean, a lot of people preaching some doctrines, and they're saying stuff to people, because these people, I tell the people all the time, go in your Bible and search the scriptures for yourself. I mean, don't receive everything you're hearing. Man, listen, but go and search the scriptures for yourself. God says search the scriptures. Then you will know if they're telling the truth. And if they're not telling you the truth, you need to get out of that church. Go somewhere else. Glory to God. So we just thank God. We are blessed today to have the woman of God, our evangelist, Darlene Campbell, among us. You know, it's always good to have the woman of God. It's always good to have people of God that know the word of God and know how to preach and teach the word of God, because the word of God will sanctify you. Jesus said that, told the Father, sanctify them by thy truth. He said their word is truth. So it's the word of God that will sanctify us. And the more word you listen to, the more word that you hear, the more you'll be sanctified and be ready for the master's use. You know, so sometimes people say, well, I ain't got time to read today. I got to get to the job. But I tell you, you're making the biggest mistake in your life if you don't have time to hear the word of God. If you don't have time to get into the word of God and get it in you, you are making the greatest mistake of your life. So we're excited to have evangelist Darlene Campbell here with us. She is going to be teaching and preaching to us today from the word of God. And we trust her because we know that she is being imparted with new wisdom from God. She's open to the voice of God. So I, without any further ado, let me pray for her. Father, I thank you for this, for your daughter. I thank you for anointing her, for appointing her, for calling her out of darkness into your marvelous light, and for impregnating her with your word. We understand that your word is truth. Your word is the living, breathing oracles of heaven. And Father, we adore your word. We live for your word. We ask, oh God, that you would anoint her today, oh God, to preach and teach with power and with authority. God, that she would not look at the circumstances. She would not look around herself. But God, she would keep her eyes on the cross spiritually and deliver, declare, and decree exactly what you gave her and what you are saying to her. Father, we pray, God, that you would anoint her lips right now. Anoint her eyes to see. Anoint her ears to hear. Her lips, her tongue to speak. God, we pray that you would allow the angel of heaven to remove the coals from the altar of God and place upon her lips spiritually. Place them on her lips, even as you did for Isaiah in the time of Hezekiah. God, purge her of every unclean, impure thing, oh God, that she would only speak what this says the Lord. Lord, allow her eyes to see your word, as your word be illuminated, be even before her eyes. Oh God, remove the scales from her eyes, even as you've done for Paul, oh God, and allow her to see. Allow her to hear, oh God, and allow her to do, even as you say. In Jesus' name I pray. Without further ado, evangelist, I'm out of the way. It's up to you now. Go ahead and do what God says.
I believe the all I need thee. Every hour, oh Lord, I need thee. Oh, bless us now. Our Savior, I come to I come to thee, yes, yes, yes. My soul says, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. My soul say yes. My soul say yes. My soul say yes. My soul said yes. My soul said yes. Yes, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God today for the Holy Spirit. We thank God for his grace, his anointing. We thank God for his mercy, his truth, and his power that he have endowed and bestowed upon us today. And I thank God right now in the name of Jesus for Apostle Callender's wife, his family, and the Resurrection Power Church this morning. Thank you, God, for everyone who's on this line with us in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just ask you to just bless your word. I receive
yes,
an accepted prayer that has gone forth over my life and over your word, God, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for allowing me to study your word, God. Lead me and guide me in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, now as we speak your word, allow your words, oh God, to come forth, and I shall speak as an oracle of you, God, in the name of Jesus. And your word, God, as your word fall in place, God, that it
yes, Lord,
prick the heart
yes, yes.
of man, God, that someone
yes.
here today may receive your word and their life may be changed forever, oh God.
Lord Jesus,
in
yes,
the name
Lord.
Of Jesus. That there will be a new day in their life today.
A new
God.
Day. A new
We're
day.
We're here for
His
soul name. Winning, God.
In Good morning,
life.
Mother.
Good morning.
It's not about us, God. But
thank
we want to
Jesus.
Just say thank you. And Lord, we just
thank
ask you,
Lord.
To bless Mother Irene right now.
Thank
in
right
the
now.
I love to hear her voice, God. Much wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Name
Lord,
of
we
Jesus.
Just say thank you for her this morning, God. Thank you for giving her continued health. And continue strength, oh God. Just
exactly.
thank you for strengthening her in her bones, oh God, in her sinews, in every area of her body, God, even in her eyes, oh God.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask
thank
you to continue
Jesus.
To regulate her heart, God, adjust it in her life, God. Lord, we ask you to bless Sister Christine this morning, Pastor Marcella, and others, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, Apostle Shell, God. And Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to bless Pastor Mims this morning, his mother, Father. But
mm-hmm.
we got a call that his mother was at the hospital, and we don't know if she's still there or gone home. But thou knowest, oh God, and whatever it is, we call it well right now in
yes,
the name
Lord.
Of
right now.
Just
in the
like
name
you
of
my
Jesus.
Comments, oh God, in the name of Jesus,
Jesus,
it is well.
It
is well.
It is well.
In
it
the
is
name
well.
Of Jesus.
Yes.
In the
well
name
with
of
her
Jesus.
Soul right now.
Yes, Lord.
It is well. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's well.
It is well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just bless you right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
We just want to thank God this morning for allowing me this opportunity. Thank Apostle Callender for allowing God to use him. Nothing by our own strength.
Yes, Lord.
Everything according to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask God to give me something, you know, you want something fresh, you want something that's good, but all of it is the Word of God. It won't ever be nothing new because the Word never changes. It remains the same. But mm-hmm. the revelation that God gives us to put the Word forth so that someone may receive it, no matter how many times you read it, each time you read, God gives you something mm-hmm. new, a greater revelation. So this morning we're going to be talking about by default. By default. A strategic plan. Psalms 103:10-12. That's where we'll start. And it says, He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's what the verse is, 103:10. But I want to go back and read the first verse. It says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. You know that last part right there of verse 9, I just want that last part to say, neither will he keep his anger forever. And as children of God, Jesus said, angry, you can get angry, but sin not.
Yes.
He said, you angry, but sin not. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus told us. Mm-hmm. It's okay to get angry, but don't do something foolish. He said, don't cause no sin upon yourself. But we as children of God, we are some of the most unforgiving people, and we'll hold on to something forever too long.
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
Before you even close your eyes at night, really within the next few minutes or the hour, God went away in the cool of the day. He came back.
Mm-hmm.
He came back in the cool of the evening when Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
The sun did not go down.
Mm-hmm.
And as children of God, that's the way we should be. Don't be so angry and be so caught up that you hold on to this. It's just like cancer eating at your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Let some of this stuff go. Learn not to get entangled and caught up in it. Verse 10 says, He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for the heaven is so high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You see, when God told us to fear him, the fear that we have from him is not to run away from him. I say this over and over again, and it has to be repetitious, because the word of God is repetitious. It won't change. And this is something
Lord.
That we have to know as children of God, that his mercy towards us, it is the same yesterday, and forever.
Mm-hmm.
His mercy and his grace, it remains the same.
Yes,
but it says that we as children of God, that we should fear him. For those who fear him, for those who honor him, for those who reverence him, the fear that God is talking about is to reverence him as Lord and Savior of our lives. Don't be so afraid of man that you are afraid of God.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that when you see a law enforcement officer, you can get correct?
Mm-hmm.
You can line up. You can shut your mouth because you don't want to go to jail. You can do all. You just get straight. But
that's
man,
right.
That has your life, that holds your very breath, your soul.
Yes, yes.
You just disregard him and say anything out your mouth. Live any kind of way. I got my hand raised up. I got my right hand raised up to the heavens because see, I'm not without. I'm not without any of this fault. I'm not without any of this.
Amen.
And I thank God for his redeeming mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
His redeeming grace. God had a plan. There was a strategic plan set in order. See, when Adam messed up, that was a plan. And I'll continue. Verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so God has removed our transgressions from us. Now, we know if we start at the furthest end of the east and drive to the west, you can't make it in a day. So the word of God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So what lacketh thou? What is it that we need? After our sins, the word dealt says our sins consist of lying. Our sins consist of backbiting, gambling, adultery, incest, homosexuality, fornication, cheating, stealing, idol worshiping, unbelieving, murderous acts, killing each other with your tongue.
Yes,
there's a lot of things that falls in the category of sin. But it says after our sin. He says he has not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. That is, he has not inflicted suffering. Do you know that a lot of people call for justice? Thank you, Holy Spirit. You don't want justice. You need mercy. Because justice gives you just what you deserve. That's what justice is. Mercy forgives you. Mercy allows you to be forgiven and bring you to a state that you don't have to pay that penalty with such an extreme cost of your life. Jesus paid the penalty. His mercy releases you from a debt that is already owed. But this debt has already been paid. Regardless of if you owe the debt, we cannot pay what we owe God. But then it says, could be our inflictions could be justifiable as fair punishment. You know, default in finances occurs when a debtor has not met his or her obligation according to the contract that the debtor and the debt has been made. See, when you don't meet your scheduled payment, if I go out here right now and I go out there without God leading me and without instructions from God, and I go out there and tell these people I want this house, and they said, okay, you've got a down payment. And some of them, you know, first-time buyers, and that will be me, a first-time buyer don't have to pay any money down depending on their credit. But if I don't meet those payments, I run into default. If my payments are not made, then failure to satisfy the terms of my agreement, which is agreed upon between the contractor and the debtor, will leave me in a place of default. What the contractor has the right to do is to come and repossess all that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I have neglected. Where do we neglect God at? In paying our tithes and offerings? When we make a vow to the Lord? When you go, intentions may be admirable. But if you know that you know that you know that you can't meet that, God knows the heart. God certainly knows the mysteries of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that you have a desire. But don't stop allowing our mouths, and again, I got my hand raised up, thank you, Holy Spirit. Stop allowing our mouths to speak, to make a vow to the Lord. Because when you say, okay, when churches and different ministries ask if you would make a commitment or a vow to help them with an assignment or with a building fund or something, and you say, well, we need everybody to pledge. Your pledge is your vow. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We need everybody to pledge. If you will, you'll pledge $100, $500, $1,000. Whatever that pledge that you made, you are obligated. You are obligated because you have just made a contract with heaven. You just made a contract with God. The vow that you made, the vow was not to the man that you was talking to, but
mm-hmm.
the vow was made to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that that vow can be broken is God allow the man of God to break that contract between you and him. And I thank God for allowing Apostle Calendar to break a vow.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when God does it, he can do it. And that brings me to when the prophet sent out his servant, and he took a gift. The servant took a gift. He went back and he lied. And he told them that Elijah, some say Elisha, but it's Elijah. He told them that Elijah said to, he had two men who were being raised up, and I'm paraphrasing. And he told them, he said, seeing the silver that for these two men. But he did not. When he returned back, this was Elijah's servant. And when he came back, he told them to go away. But when he got there, Elijah asked him, he says, where were you? But don't you know, as servants of Jesus Christ, Elijah told him, see, that gift that you received, he says, I know about it. He says, and for that, your punishment for life upon you and your seed will be leprosy. And you see, the thing is, this leprosy was not contagious because the way that Elijah spoke upon him, it could not be passed along as you standing in front of him. But Elijah said that this contamination will be upon you for the rest of your life. And not only upon you, but upon your seed as well. So what I'm saying is when you make a vow to God, you bring a curse upon yourself when you don't meet it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Thank you, Holy Spirit. When Ananias and Sapphira lied to Peter when they were taking up money, everybody had made a pledge that they would sell all they had to take care of all the people, and what everybody was going to do was sell all they had, and they was going to bring all their money to the sanctuary, to the Lord's house, and that the men of God were divided equally amongst everyone. But Ananias and Sapphira sought wickedness. They thought up a plan that didn't go so well. They thought up a plan, and when they got to the house of the Lord, Ananias went before Sapphira, his wife. And what Ananias did when Peter asked him, he said, is this all that you have? And he said, yes. He said, why hast thou lied to the Holy Spirit? And what I'm showing you, when you are connected with the man of God, God shows him, because God has given him what he needs to pray for you. He's overseeing you and the plan for your life. And when he's praying for you, then God has connected those spirits together. So the man of God that God has placed you over, you are obligated to serve him because you are serving God. And you have to be allowed to bring yourself in a place of obedience. So when Peter asked them, why hast thou lied to the Holy Spirit? And he dropped dead. And then the ushers came. He called for the ushers to come and carry him out. But then now here comes Ananias' wife, Sapphira. She comes in with the same lie, not knowing that her husband has already gone out.
Mm-hmm.
So then now she has to give up the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So when we make these vows to God, when we make these vows to the Lord, don't open your mouth, because God knows the heart. And by him knowing the desires of your heart, he will provide you with what you need so that you can take it. There are some who said that they will and won't. And there are some who said that they won't and will. And Jesus said, which is greater? The one who said that I will do and won't? Or the one who says, no, Daddy, I won't do that. And he repents and he does what is right. And see, when you're neglecting your tithe, your offering, your vows, your commitments, your prayers, your time, you know, you say, where have I defaulted? Where have I neglected all of these things? I heard Apostle Kellner say about you being in a rush about your prayer life. And it's written right here in my word. It's just lining up. Because when you pray, you have to establish a prayer life with the Father. And it says your prayer life, your time. Where's your time? Give God some of your time. We're so busy in our lives that we just don't have enough time to give God. Our study time, our fasting, our praying. We need to study. We have to fast. We have to pray. Fourth chapter of Malachi, 7 through 11. No, third chapter of Malachi, 7 through 11 reads as follows. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse,
mm-hmm.
that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine catch her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Your children, your seeds will be blessed, your children and your children's children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a time in my life, and I thank God, and I didn't even know why, Sister, I'm thanking God right now because God have allowed me to see something when I read that. That was a time before I just stepped back out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
That when I went into the sanctuary, not only did I tithe for myself, but I took money and tithe for each one of my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know what I was doing. I knew that we had to pay tithes, and I paid tithes off the top. The tithe says off your earnings, off your earnings. So I paid the tithe off my earnings, not off my net. But I always took money and put a separate envelope for each one of those children. And God has just showed it to me. You know, we don't know. We may not understand then. But when God brings you into the revelation and the knowledge of what he was doing, you see, it wasn't me. It was God that was setting something up for them. God was setting them up. Because I didn't have that knowledge. I didn't even understand what was going on. But I knew that they needed to pay their tithe. That's all I knew. But it was God, and God sets us up in places. Because, you see, when I walked out, that's where the default came in at. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There was something already set up there in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So when you be led by God and you be instructed by God, no matter how it seems or what it may seem like, and I remember reading the story about Job, and that's how I came to that place, not understanding, but I remember how Job fasted and prayed for his children daily. And I thought that was why I'm thinking now, I must have been thinking that was most admirable, that was good, a great thing. God said Job was an upright man, so God said he was an upright man, and he fasted and prayed for his children daily. I took that into my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I began to do something for each one of my children, not knowing that it was a setup from God.
Mm-hmm.
Your debtors, when you fail to meet your obligation, as I said before, has the right to repossess all that you have because of your simple neglect. You see, when Jesus redeemed us, when God gave his only son for us for perpetuation of our sin, he has the right to cleanse us from all of our iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
So your debtor has right to repossess all that you have because of simple neglect. Well, why do you say that? Because if you can't pay it, what they end up doing is taking not only your house, but if that's not enough, if it has not increased the value, what they will do is begin to set a judgment against you and sell all that you have inside to meet that obligation.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you use as collateral can be redeemed to satisfy the debt. Lord, have mercy. God gave his only begotten son to us. When Adam sinned, God gave us his only begotten son as collateral. Wow. You just may be in the right place sometimes at the wrong time. You can be in the right place, but if it's not your appointed time, it will cause you to lose focus. It will cause you to lose purpose. It will cause you to lose possession, and it will cause you to lose your power.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you wasn't supposed to be in the place, but God has an assignment for your life. He has an appointed time. Adam was in the right place, but what he did was wrong. God told him he can go anywhere, and it was only one thing that he couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So not that you are in the wrong place, but what is it that you're doing when you are in the place? There is a strategic plan. There was an organic process, an organized process in redeeming us.
Mm-hmm.
The decision that God made when he allocated his son, when he gave us his son, Jesus, to pursue our salvation, what great resource. A strategy is a plan or action designed to achieve a vision. Strategy is about planning and being prepared. So when what you had planned fails, you can execute without reservation a movement or an operation that will be effective, a foolproof plan. You see, God had a full F-U-L-L plan, proof plan, and it was Jesus. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and God looked at the earth. But what God said when he went in, and when God created all the things,
mm-hmm.
and when he called those things that be not as though they were, when God spoke those things into in existence, God said to, he said, let us, God said, let us make man.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra, the ninth chapter, if you turn with me to Ezra, the ninth chapter, starting at the first verse, this was Ezra's prayer. Now, when these things were done, the princesses came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abomination, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, and the Moabites, the Egyptians and the Amorites, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves. You see, that's when I was talking about the incest. They have taken of them daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief in the trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment, meaning he tore it off, and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down a stunt. It just brought him into a place of awe. It amazed him. You know, it sometimes we say behooves us. It worried his spirit. So what he did, he rented his clothes. He tore off his clothes. He rented his mantle. He plucked off his hair, cut his hair off, and his beard. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I set a stone until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God,
mm-hmm.
and said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. You see, when he said for the evening sacrifice, you see, then the sacrifice were of animals, and it was called an atonement. And it had to be done over and over and over again. And but what Ezra was saying is that, my God, for our iniquities, I'm in verse 6 of the 9th chapter of Ezra. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. For our iniquities have we, our king, and our priests been delivered into the hands of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of faith, as it is this day. Even the king, Ezra says, even the king has been caught up in this. To the spoil means just so much sin, so much transgression. He said he called it spoil. And to confusion of face, just to look at them. Just to look at them. We sing a song that, oh, I want to see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Just to look upon his face. But you see, that's not what Ezra was talking about. Ezra was talking about their face were faces of confusion. But when we want to look upon the face of Jesus, just to look upon his face, means we want to look upon holiness. We have to walk in holiness. We have to walk in uprightness. Just to look upon his face, just to see the face of Jesus. That's what the songwriter says. The songwriter says, I don't want to do anything else, but I just want to look upon his face. How could you not want to look upon the face of someone who died for you, who was a perpetuation of our sin? No more atonement. Jesus did it, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
It don't have to be done no more. No more blood shedding is going to be shed. All the blood shedding is over with. No more sacrificing of animals, but the pure blood of Jesus has been shed for us. God gave his son. And when I was looking at the Spirit of the Lord, saying by default, because had Adam not sinned in the garden, had Adam not sinned in the garden, God would not have allowed him to have allowed himself to give himself to us through Mary, his son Jesus, as a perpetuation of our sin. But because of the first sin, Adam in the garden, God gave himself to us that we might be redeemed, restored, hallelujah, and reproved in the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
God reproved us. God reproved us. He redeemed us. He restored us. What greater sacrifice is it? Then it says in verse 8, it says, and now, for a little space, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. You know, and when I pray, I'm always asking God, Lord, provide me with the way of escape. Because sometimes, though not intended, we can get ourselves in some situations and in some circumstances. But I'm asking God continually, Lord, provide me with the way of escape.
Yeah.
That he will show up. He will give you what you need. He will show you the path you need to take. Lord, provide us with the way of escape. And Ezra said, to leave us a remnant to escape. The remnant was Jesus. The remnant was Jesus Christ. Because had it not been for Jesus, he said, to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Revive me, O Lord. You know, we have revivals. A lot of churches have revivals. They have winter, spring, summer, and fall revivals. But if you need to go to God even more often than that, Revive us again, O Lord. Our spirit need reviving. And revival is for the saints of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Ezra was saying. Ezra said, us for a little reviving in our bondage. Verse 9 says, for we were bondmen, yet our God had not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the king of Persia, to give us, thank you. To give us a nail, I'm going to go back. Let me start again at verse 8. And now for a little space, grace hath been shown from the Lord our God,
mm-hmm,
to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage.
Mm-hmm.
For we were bondmen, yet our God has not forsaken us in our bondage. God did not forsake us, and he didn't leave us. Even when Jesus was on the cross, thank you, Holy Spirit, when Jesus said, Father, why has God forsaken me? But the Father did not forsake the Son. It was just but for a moment that the Father had to turn away because of the sin, the iniquity that he had allowed the Son and that Son had agreed upon, so that we might be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the declaration thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. Do you not know that God will repair us? It don't matter how broken we are.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter how torn we may seem to be. God is a God of reparation.
Mm-hmm.
He will repair us. It just seems that your vessel may have just a little leak in it. But God will seal you. And when men look upon your countenance, they may not see the scar physically, but God and you know that there was a rip, a torn in the remnant, and God repaired the remnant. God sent a remnant for an escape. And that's what Ezra was saying. And in verse 10 it says, and now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments. Huh? They have forsaken, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. They have forsaken, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. They have forsaken, remember the Sabbath day that keep it holy. They have forsaken, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not kill. They have forsaken the commandments, they said, and they which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets,
mm-hmm,
saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the land,
mm-hmm,
with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. My God. What we read earlier, as far as from the east is to the west, our God will forgive our iniquity for those that fear him. But it says their abomination, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Verse 12 says, now therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto their sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. Forsake all that sin. Forsake that those things that look good and you know that it's a sin. You know that it will bring you into bondage. Walk away from it. Man don't have anything to offer you that God can't do for you. You don't have to sell out. You don't have to stoop being about to receive what God has already prepared for you. And after all that has come upon us, verse 13, from our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this. Should we again break thy commandments and join in the affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldst thou not be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped. As it is this day, behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this, because of the sin, because of the iniquity. We cannot stand before the Father. But the Father, he gave us the gift of life. He gave us his Son so that his Son would and could stand, so that we might be redeemed, that we might have the right to the tree of life. It was well thought. It was a plan that God designed to achieve the visions. It was already planned, because the prophets, the disciples, the prophets before Nehemiah, they told us of God's plan. Ezekiel, they told us of God's plan. Nehemiah, the 9th chapter and the 27th with the 32nd verse reads as follows. The 27th verse begins, therefore, thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vex them, and in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercy, many, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore, liftest thou them in the hand of their enemies. Be careful. So many of us, as children of God, I'm talking to the saints of God, we know that God is a just God. He's a forgiving God. But don't take it so lightly that you can just walk out there into the world and do whatever you want to do because you can say, Father, forgive me. That may be a time that comes that you won't be have the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. What happens? God calls you when you're in your midst. You have been left in the hands of your enemies. So that they and your eternal destination surely will be hell. So that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercy, and testifiedest against them that thy mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but a sin against thy judgment, which if a man do so, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. The word of God teaches us the day that we hear God's voice, harden not your heart. The day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The word of God tells us, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. You know, the people's necks were so stiff-necked when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, bringing them into freedom, bringing them out of land of bondage. All they had to do was look up. They were complaining and grumbling about manna, of food to eat, when all they had to do was look up. But they never, the word of God tells us they were so stiff-necked, they even refused to look up. We need to look up sometimes. Our help comes from God. Sometimes just look up to the heavens. Just look up. You may not have know what to say, but just look up to the Father. Even if you can't look up, your heart, look up with your eyes of your heart. Ask God to open the eyes of your heart so that you may look up to heaven and see him. Because God sees you. And then it says in verse 30, yet many years didst thou forbear them and testified against them by thy spirit in the prophets. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore gave thou them into the land, into the hand of the people of the land. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art gracious, or a gracious and merciful God. Verse 32 says, now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee, that hath come upon us, on our king, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. You know, God brings us out of bondage. Job the 11th chapter and verse 6 reads as follows. And that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacted of thee less than thine iniquities deserveth. We cannot say what we deserve, but God, because of his mercy, because of his grace, because of who he is, everlasting Father, he saw fit to redeem us by the blood of the Lamb. Verse 7 in the 11th chapter of Job says, canest thou by searching find our God? Canest thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canest thou do deeper than hell? What canest thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth, and the broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knows vain men. God knows vain men. That's a wicked people, and God knows who they are. So we have to be careful about the counsel that we take. Verse 12 says, for vain man will be wise, though man be born like a wild-ass colt. If thou prepare thy heart and stretch out thy hands towards him, if iniquity be in thy hand, put it far away from thee, and let not wickedness dwell in your tabernacle. Put away wickedness. Put off this foolishness. You see, Ezekiel, he saw the cross. Ezekiel told us about the coming of Jesus Christ. So in order to satisfy a debt that we owe, in order to satisfy a debt that we could not pay. We couldn't even begin to repay. Why? Because of the spot, because of the blemishes, because of the wrinkle. We had been stained with transgressions, with iniquities, with sin. We were covetous. All these things, we lacked it. We were just in bondage. But God, He made a way of escape for us. He gave us a remnant of escape. And this is where the default comes in. Because when you can't keep your agreement, and we did not, we sinned. But by default measure, by a strategic plan of God, by Him giving His only begotten Son, John 3:16, thank you, Holy Spirit, said, for God so loved, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and that whosoever believed in Him should not perish. If you just believe on God, you won't perish, but have everlasting life. And right now, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit, the Lord has brought me into this place of salvation. And I'll be obedient to the Spirit of God. You don't know Jesus? Today is a good day to get to know Him. We sing a song and say, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Jesus Christ, the Son? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Jesus Christ, the Son? And one of the saints would say, yes, I know Him. Yes, I know Him. Yes, I know Jesus Christ, God's Son. Yes, I know Him. Yes, I know Him. Yes, I know Jesus Christ, God's Son. So we say to you today, I'm telling you right now, yes, I know Him. I know Jesus Christ, God's Son. I have established a relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I thank God for who He is today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, God, for your word, oh God, by default, a strategic plan, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, that someone, God, may be listening and hear your word and know that you have a plan for their life, God, that you gave the ultimate plan, and it was giving your Son, Jesus, to redeem us and reprove us, oh God, for the remission of our sins, Father, in the name of Jesus, for His blood that He shed, oh God, for the remission of our sins, and the water for our baptism. And Father, we say thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for the pastors, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the leaders, God, the leaders of our nations, God, in the name of Jesus, the leaders of our churches, Father. We say thank you, oh God, that we will continue to walk upright in spirit and in truth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know Jesus today, today we offer you Jesus. We offer you Jesus today in the name of Jesus. If you pray this prayer with me, we give you the prayer of salvation. You can be saved today if you'll just pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now, God, humble and submissive, knowing, Father, that I have sinned. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I willingly turn away, walk away, and relinquish my sin, God. I no longer want to walk in the path of unrighteousness. For it is written in your word in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that you, God, raised Jesus from the dead, thou shall be saved. And right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess you, Jesus, with my mouth. I believe with my whole heart. In my heart, I believe that you, God, raised Jesus from the dead. And your word say, I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'm saved. Amen. There may be someone who have backslid. You accepted Jesus Christ in your life some time ago. But for one reason or another, you have allowed deception to come. And what Ezra was talking about, the confusion came into your life. But you didn't think that Jesus could handle it for you. You thought that you had to do it all by yourself. But you found out, you know, that you can't do it by yourself. But right now, right here, we offer you a way of escape.
Amen.
We offer you a way of escape to walk away from all of that right now, mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
sir. And if you just pray this prayer with me, Father, I repent of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. And restore to me, Father, in the name of Jesus, the joy of my salvation.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
For restoring me.
Yes, Lord.
Unto the joy.
Of my salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I've been redeemed. I've been restored. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you pray that prayer, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Our Father, you see these prophets was telling you about grace. These mm-hmm. prophets told you about mercy. So that same grace, that same mercy has just restored you unto the joy of your salvation. Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So if you prayed the prayers today, we want to say to you, heaven rejoice. I rejoice. I celebrate with you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
The angels in heaven are singing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy,
holy.
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 Holy, holy. Holy. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We celebrate your birthday today. You got a new birth. You got a yes. new birthday. Yes. The day that you were born, that you came out of your mother's womb, you mm-hmm. have that day. But today,
yeah.
you got a new birthday in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
A new birth.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. We recommend water baptism. Jesus said to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we obey Jesus. We obey Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Peter
Thank
said,
you,
be baptized in the name of Jesus. But Jesus in the name of Jesus. Jesus said to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then we recommend that you get into a Bible-based church. I may not be saying them in chronological order, but I'm giving you the recommendations that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, when God tells you something, you just got to stop and correct it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get your Bible and begin to study. Begin to study your Bible. Get into a Bible-based church. If you don't have a home church to go to, you are the church. That temple, that building that you go to, that's a place of worship.
Mm-hmm.
We are the church.
Yes, sir.
So the temple that you will, the place that you go to worship, if you don't have a place, Apostle Calendar will accept you here right now, right here today, under the authorityship of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. He's the set man of God over Resurrection Power Church of Christ today. And you can be nourished and fed every day.
Mm-hmm.
You are bathed in Christ now, but he will nourish you. And you bathed have to suck. Bathed have to get the liquid. You see, it has to be broken down for a bathe in Christ in a pocket calendar. Don't mind taking the time out. Don't mind allowing you to ask the questions that you need so you can mature and grow. And then you can become strong. The stronger you get, the more you get off the milk.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll begin to eat solids, more substance, more marrow to your bones so you can have maturity, power, strength. And then on Apostle Calendar, when you have received what you needed, and Apostle Calendar will send you out by letter of Christian grace. Apostle Calendar.
And we thank you so much, Evangelist. I'm not going to share too much, but I really enjoy the message.
Yes, Lord.
One thing that I want to just share is that I really like what you say. I liked everything you say because everything that you spoke was the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot, if you are a Christian, you cannot dislike the word of God because that is our foundation. And knowing I really, really love the word, the way you elaborate, the way you release the word. And I like the time, too, that you put in all the time. That's most essential to me. Is to get everything filled up so that people all over the world can hear what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is speaking through his people. I love that, you know, that Jesus, the greatest gift that God the Father could give to anybody, he gave to us, his people, is love. And you spoke about grace. And grace comes, grace and mercy comes out of that love. You know, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So out of that love came grace and mercy. And that was the part that really filled my heart, that part. I mean, everything I love, but that part is, I'm always taken at that to see that God, how God could love us so much that he would give his only Son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how he would give his Son for us, somebody for nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of understand that. Even as I preach the word and teach the word, I still can't comprehend how God can love us so much that he was willing, not only that was he willing, but he sacrificed his Son to get other sons and daughters. I mean, no good sons and daughters, you know, because you got to call it as it is. You know,
mm-hmm.
We say this stuff called a spade, but you got to call that it is. God sacrificed his holy, lovable Son to get some no good sons and daughters. But he had a plan. He had a plan that through his holy and righteous Son, that he would get his no good sons and daughters become holy. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of all of who the Son is and what the Son could do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an honor and a privilege to even get into that realm. a holy realm. So I just want to tell you, woman of God, just keep on doing what you're doing. I want you to come back on again tomorrow because I'm going to be in the church tonight. I'm doing so much. I didn't get home till almost 1 o'clock last night. You know, I had to go to the airport and pick up that apostle from coming last night, and I had to go pick him up. And then he was so excited because he never met me before, but then he realized who I was. He was so excited, you know, and we start to have fellowship, you know, because people can see your anointing. See, the anointing can be seen. A lot of people don't know that. And people think that anointing is just a shadow. The anointing can be seen. The anointing can be seen, and the anointing can be felt. You can touch the anointing. You know, if you live right, you can touch the anointing. You know, because the Bible says that he's touched by our infirmities. So you can touch the anointing if you live right. Your infirmities, everything that you go through will touch Jesus. You know, everything that you're dealing with will touch him. You know, and that's what I get excited about, that to know that my God, that I can touch him with my pain, with my suffering, whatever I'm dealing with, he is concerned about. That's a privilege, man. I mean, just to know that my God is so concerned with me that whatever I'm dealing with, it affects him. My God, and you know, when you don't know, you'll be running around saying, "Oh my God," like a turkey or chicken. We say, "Well, chicken with the head cut off." But when you know that God is concerned about you, my God, just turn it over. Turn it over to him. You know, I see Christian walk around with the head all chopped off and all that. Hey, man, stop that stuff. Just start looking to the hills from which cometh your help. Look to the Father. Right. Look to him and tell him what's going on. He already knows, but he said that's the light of the power of the sound. And see, the problem, I will tell you this because I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And you know, the problem that I find out in the church, people of God, is that people don't tell God enough. They don't talk to me now. Oh, they go tell them, God, give me this, give me that, give me that. Man, just tell God. Go on and tell God, because he said, death and life. I want to speak life to my situation, so I'm starting to tell God what's going on. He already know, but he don't want you to tell him for his understanding. You are telling him so that the devil can hear. That's the reason why you're telling him. You're telling him what's going on in your life so the devil can know that you know that you know that you got a father's concern about you. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? This is the reason why you're telling God. You're not telling God to give God no new revelation or give God no new insight. He knows everything. You're telling him so the devil can hear that you know, that you know, that you know, that you have a God that's concerned about what's going on in your life.
That's right.
I'm finished. I'll let you know that. Say that over the radio because so many people don't understand. So why God tell God? God know everything. No, you're not telling God. Like when God give you new revelation or new wisdom, it is not new to God. It's new to you. It's new to us.
That's
fine. Nothing is new to God. Solomon said there's nothing new on the sun, so God knows about everything. We don't know. That's why it's new to us. When the Bible said that he's going to do a new thing, the new thing that God is doing is not new to God. It's new to the saints.
That's
fine. Revelation. I'm finished. I got Mother Irene. I got Providence, Marcella Smith on the line, Sister Christina. So I'm opening the line for you all to share. Go on and share. The line is open.
I just thank God for the word this morning.
Yes,
God,
yes.
From the woman, for the woman of God. I just enjoy her this morning. And I just pass her and your family, and I just ask God to just continue to pray and strengthen you all. Pastor, continue. I'm kind of speechless this morning. I don't know why, but anyway, God knows what I want to say, and I love that for God because He is got a word for me to say, and so I just thank God for everything. And I just thank God for his prayer this morning. And I just continue to pray for me to give strength this morning. And I just thank for everything. And I just, I just thank this woman of God this morning for the word that she is really, she's growing grace, strength every day. She's getting much grace. And I just thank God for her and everything. And thank you, Jesus. And I continue to pray for us. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Glory, glory.
The line is open. The line is open. Somebody come on and share. Talk about Jesus. Talk about your life. Talk about what he's doing in your life. God is doing miracles.
Yes, Lord.
Hello.
Yes, we are here.
Oh, okay. Bless the name of the Lord. Good morning, my sisters and my brothers and apostles. David Callender. Good morning. God bless you all. I truly enjoyed and was taking notes as well in the name of Jesus over the word that came forth. Evangelist Campbell, glory to God. Is she still on the line as well? Glory to God. We just bless the Lord today. You know, I just coming in with some thanksgiving and some praises today, you know, because after the spoken word and then after Apostle Callender got a little happy there, he started preaching a little bit with only three people preaching. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hello, Father. Hello, Christina. Hallelujah. In the name
of Jesus. Good morning. God bless you.
God bless you, Irene, right? Eileen?
Yes.
Oh, this is Evangelist Campbell.
Okay. Oh, Evangelist Campbell. Glory be to God. We really had a lot of meat to eat up on today. Glory be to God. I just love him. I just love what he's doing with you and with every person that's on the line. Today in the name of, you know, I just want to praise the Lord. I don't really have that much to say.
Absolutely.
I don't have any that much to say, you know, but when I think about all what he has done for me, how
mm-hmm.
he turned me around, how he woke me up today, how
yes.
I heard the word that came forth, how I heard you singing, you know, and that he has blessed us, that we have different blog talks to go on and listen to the word and pray and intercede for others. The only thing I can say is thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, bless your holy name. We give you the glory, Lord.
Thank
we
you.
We give you the praise, you know, because this is a day that the Lord has made. And
yes.
we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt him together. This is what the Lord is telling us to do. Exalt him together. It's good to exalt him by yourself. That's good, but when we gather together, exalt his name together, let us praise his name together,
praise
let us worship together, let us pray together, let us intercede together, let us hear the word together, and as Apostle said, there's nothing new to God, but it's new to us. Hallelujah. And you see, you thought I wasn't listening. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I was listening.
Yeah, you are too bad. I know you were listening.
I was real quiet. I better listen.
I know you were listening.
Glory, 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 glory be God. I don't even know which way to go, because she talked about so much. She started talking about, you know, about the liars and the backsliders and the homosexuality, the fornicators. I go, oh, well, let me write some of that down. So the Lord said, write the opposite of that
right.
You know, since y'all just got onto the mercy, talking about how it allowed us to be forgiven, you know, I said, oh, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your grace today. You know, when we hear the word coming from a man or a woman of God, and our spirit agrees with the word, meaning that we have gotten into the word somewhere where we can understand that that's what the word says. And then you hear something, say the opposite. You talk about the lying and the backbiting and the killing of the words. And I was saying, Lord, we're going to speak life, Lord, huh? And we're going to speak that homosexuality becomes straight, yeah, in
right.
the name of Jesus, that they would have the opposite sex and they would get married to a husband or a wife in the name of Jesus. And she was talking about the idol workings, you know. I said, Lord, there shall not be any other gods before you, in the name
Jesus.
Of Jesus, you know. So she was talking about the mercy and the grace, you know. He said that they follow us everywhere we go. So, you know, I think I mentioned yesterday that when we say Satan get behind us, he can't stay too long behind us because mercy and grace is following us.
Already
yeah.
That's why.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what else can I say right now? And you was talking about the vows, you know. You was talking about the vows, and I recall you had mentioned that before, how the Lord had placed upon Apostle Calendar to break that contract with you, you know, so you can live in peace, so you can go forward and not be stagnated. You know, we just thank you for him being true to the word. We thank him for being obedient at that time,
mm-hmm.
you know, to do exactly what the Lord thus said to do in the name of Jesus. So I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. Would I sing praises unto thee? I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for the loving kindness and for the truth. For thou hast magnified the word above all names. Hallelujah. Lord, at all times, his praise shall continually to be in my mouth. My soul shall boast in her. All the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Magnify the Lord.
His name together. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from all destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Hallelujah. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquity.
Yes.
As far as the east is from the west, from us, he was wounded for our transgression.
Lord.
For our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace, hallelujah, was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed, hallelujah.
Healed.
The Lord opened the eyes of the blind, the Lord praised and raised them that are bowed down, the Lord loveth righteous, they shall speak glory of the kingdom, and talk of the power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his peace. Lord said, seek ye first. Hallelujah. Seek ye first. He wants to seek him first on all things in the name of Jesus. He wants to seek him first. Where should we go today? Who can we bless today?
Bless.
He wants to seek us first. Lord, what you want me to study today, what you want me to read today, what you want me to pray today. Oh, Lord, do you want me to praise you in a new way, Lord? You're going to give me a new song in my heart, oh, Lord. I'm going to sing to the Lord, the name of Jesus. We're going to break down we're going to break down iniquities in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
He said to give you thanksgiving, Lord. And I believe we have. Thank you, Lord. We
thank you,
Father, in the name of Jesus, that we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We thank you, Father,
thank you,
that we shall abide under the shadow of Almighty God. We thank you, Lord, because you are the creator of heavens, and you are the creator of earth, Lord. You sit up high, Lord, and you look down low. You made the enemy your footstool, Lord. Lord, you said, if you are rear guard, Lord, what do we have to fear?
Yes, yes.
To fear you, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you prepared a table before us in the presence of our
enemy,
Lord God. Thou anointest our head with oil, and our cup run it over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Now your house may not be my house, and my house may not be your house, but the words say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. That's enough to give him glory. That's enough to praise his name. Computers that's listening in today, Lord, those that will listen in later on in the name of Jesus and take notes and use it for their own sermons. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we cover the woman of God, Evangelist Campbell, with the blood of Jesus on the crown of her head. The soul of her feet, Lord.
Yes,
Lord, when she poured out her, pour into her fresh wine, fresh anointing, replenish by God in the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Give her the strength, Lord, that she needs for this day, Lord. Give her the words put up on her tongue for those that she may come towards, in the name of Jesus, the pathway that, Lord, she may go forth and meet new people and evangelize and witness to them, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for Mother Irene, Lord, today. Lord, we thank you so we speak blessings. We speak good health, Lord. We speak that we can see 2020 vision spiritually and can see good naturally, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. That she shall be born in and blessed coming out, Lord God, in the name of Jesus,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus.
We bless her.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Over Christina, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and praise me today.
Praise me.
I don't care where you may be, but praise me anyway. Praise me in the new day. Praise me in the morning. Praise me at night. Give me the glory because I am the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Nazareth, Lord, we thank you for Australia today, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord,
that the places go up and the blessings come down, Lord. We sing a little song, Lord, knowing that your hands is upon her life in the name of Jesus Christ. And as we're Lord, we thank you for Benjamin. We thank you for his newborn. We thank you for his wife, Lord. We thank you for the first lady, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the apostles and all the prophets and all the evangelists and all the pastors and all the teachers, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of health. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of hospitality. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of ushering, Lord. We thank you for the ministry of
hope,
Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the musicians that play prophetically. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you anointed their fingers and their hands. So when they hit a drum, when they hit a note, a chord, Lord, it is the glory that they are playing for to come down in the atmosphere of the sanctuary, of the gathering, of the house, of the Lord, in the name of Jesus,
Jesus.
Of Christ, of Nazareth, oh Lord, we want to say thank you, Lord, Lord, we give you glory, Lord, Jesus, Lord, let it rain down upon your people, fresh anointing, a fresh looking, a fresh revelation from the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, Lord, in Christ, Nazareth, Lord. We give you the glory, Lord. Bless your name, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for all that you have poured out on this line on today. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit is alive and it's true,
thank
O God. Your spirit is still moving through the earth, through the heavens, O God. We thank you, O God. We thank you for these mighty women of God, the daughters of Zion, O God, that you are using in this end time to declare and decree your word, your praise, your worship, Lord God. We pray, O God, for all that they have released out of their spirit, man, O God, that you would put back into them a double portion for all that they have released, O God. I pray, God, that healing would manifest in their bodies, O God. Lord, that they will walk in righteousness. They will walk in holiness. I pray, God, that as they continue to go forth and seek out your face, O God, that they would find your hand. I pray, O God, that even right now, Lord God, that you will begin to deliver, declare, and decree from heaven, O God, that which shall be done here on earth, O God. For your word declare that your will that is done in heaven shall be done on earth. I hear, O God, you speaking to us by your word, by your spirit, O God. I pray, Father God, for the revival that begins on tonight, O God. I pray, Lord God, that there will be a fresh outpouring of the oil of heaven. I pray, Father God, that those that are coming from far and from near, God, will receive that which you have already prepared for them from before the foundation of the world. I pray, God, that folk will come in sick and go back out healed, O God. People will come in alcoholics and go back out sober. I pray that drug addicts will come in addicted, O God, but we go back out delivered and transformed. Father, I pray that, Lord God, that whoever coming into that sanctuary tonight, O God, that your spirit will be waiting for them, O God, to fill them fresh and change them, O God, from what they are to what they need to be. Father, I pray, Lord God, for the movement of God, the stirring of the water, O God. I pray that the angels of heaven will come down, Lord God, and stir up the spiritual water in the sanctuary on tonight. Every night, O God, let there be a fresh outpouring.
Lord,
God, even the outpouring that we will have tonight, let that tomorrow night there be a different outpouring, O God. I pray that, God, that your word will be sharp, that it will be swift, that it will be quick, O God. I pray, Father God, for those that don't, that are playing church, that when they're coming, O God, that they will see that this is not a play church, but that this is the church. This is the remnant, God, that you're speaking of. God, we believe, and we believe, and we are sanctified in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we are sanctified by the washing of the word. And Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you honor, O God, for all that you are doing, what you are going to do, what you have already done, O God. God, we are not taking it lightly, for we see that there, Lord God, there is a newness that are being stirred in the earth. Somebody said on last night that the devil is busy, but we know that God is busier. And we thank God for his presence, O God. We don't matter what the devil is doing, because we know God is more powerful, and we know that he is stronger, we know that he is awesome, we know that he is righteous, we know that he is majestic, we know that he is sovereign, and Lord, we just thank you for your sovereignty. Lord, we thank you, O God, for your obedience and your faithfulness to your word. We thank you, O Lord, because you never let your word fall to the ground. O God, you never let your word return empty. God, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we glorify your name, God. God, we exalt you, we magnify you, because God, we recognize that no weapons formed against us will ever prosper. And every town that come against us in judgment, and there shall be towns, there will be towns that will come against us, but we shall condemn them in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for keeping us in the perfect peace, O God, even as our mind is stayed on you, Lord God. God, you said that you promised that you will perfect that which concerneth us, Lord, and we thank you for perfecting us each day, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for your word. We thank you for your servants. Lord, we thank you for your abiding love that rests and abides upon us, O God, that we can love people in spite of how they act, how they treat us, or how they are. Lord, we just thank you right now.
Thank you.
We thank you for giving us that impartation of compassion for our neighbors,
thank
O God. Lord, we bless you and praise you, O God. We thank you for encamping your angels around our dwelling places in the north, in the east, in the south, in the west, O God. We thank you for the angels that dwells around our dwelling place, O God, taking, keeping watch over our property, over everything that concerns us, O God. Lord, we thank you, O God. We thank you for leading us in that straight and narrow path, O God. We thank you for making crooked places straight for us, oh God. Lord, we thank you for making rough places smooth, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to look at our circumstances, God, but we keep our eyes on you. We keep our eyes on the cross, oh God, because you are bigger, oh God. You are stronger than our circumstances. Lord, we are already victorious, oh God. We are already triumphant in your word, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that even though that 1,000 may fall at our left side and 10,000 at our right side, not one will come near our dwelling. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, oh God. We thank you for covering our rear within our forward. Lord, we thank you, oh God. Lord, we bless you today. We ask you, oh God, to continue to watch over Sister Christina. Keep her in the apple of your eye. Continue to watch over the evangelist Campbell, oh God. Continue to guide and protect her as she go forth and go there and go far, oh God. I ask you, oh God, to give her her heart's desire, that she will see her daughters and her sons, all of her family members, delivered and set free, oh God. God, I ask you to watch over Marcella Smith. Lord, I ask you, oh God, to send angels, oh God, to walk side by side with her daughter, oh God, her sister, oh God. Lord, I pray, oh God, that the anointing that you have placed in this woman of God, Lord, that the anointing will flow off of her and it will go on to her daughter. It will go on to her sister, God. God, that they will see that majestic light that is shining on her, oh God, and she will become a mirror. Oh God, that the light would bounce off of her onto her relatives. Oh God, I pray, oh God, as she go into sanctuaries, the moment she walks into sanctuaries, and I know she visit a lot of churches, when she walk into the sanctuary, even her mere presence would change the atmosphere. Father, I pray, oh God, that you would do this, oh God, for your glory. Father, I pray for Mother Irene, who is the mother of this line, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you continue to heal her body, continue to heal her eyes, heal her ear, heal her back, heal her knees, heal her elbows, heal her pancreas, oh God, heal her liver. Oh, God, heal her heart, heal her lungs, oh, God, heal her kidneys. Begin to do a new work in her body, oh, God. Oh, God, continue to draw her spirit closer to you, oh, God, as she ministers to the young women. Let them know, God, that they can live holy, that they can live celibate, oh, God. I pray today, oh, God, for Sister Christina. I hear the Lord said to tell you that all is well. I don't know what it is, but the Lord tell me, Sister Christina, you are on the line. You can hear my voice. God tell me to tell you. I know it's God, because he just stopped me from praying. He stopped me in the midst of praying from Brother Irene. He said to tell you that all is well. I don't know what it's all about, because he haven't shown me what it is. But he tell me to tell you it's all is well. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm not asking God what it is. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're facing. But God has told me to tell you, daughter, it all is well.
Yes.
All is well. And if I'm a liar, God called me to stick right here where I'm standing now, and my tongue cleaves to the roof of my mouth, and I never speak another word. God said to tell you, all is well. And you know what it is, Christina. Christina, you know what it is. God says, all is well. All is well. Trust him, all is well. Whatever you've been asking God for, whatever you've been seeking God for, whatever's been bothering you, whatever's been on your spirit, God said, tell you all is well. All is well. All is well. And all you have to do is just receive God. Receive it. Tell God I receive it. Thank you, God. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to do nothing. You don't have to raise no red flag. You don't have to light no candle. You have to turn on no light switch. Just tell God, thank you, Lord. I receive it.
Thank you.
Just tell him. I receive it. That's all you got to tell him. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to become no PhD. You don't have to be no doctor. Just tell God, God, yes, Lord, I receive it. Because I heard your servant speak. Yes, Lord, I receive it.
Thank you.
That's all. God don't want no much, no more. Just want you to receive it. I heard the Lord said that. Mother Irene, your report from the doctors is excellent. I'm telling you right now, I don't care what the devil do. Your report is excellent.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Your report is excellent. I just want to tell you, your report
Thank
is excellent.
You. Yes, Lord.
The devil is trying to distract you. He's trying to delay you, because the devil knows if you come on this line every morning that you're going to grow stronger. You're going to get your healing. Going to take place even faster.
Yes.
But I praise God that he can't stop you. Because when you're not here, we are praying for you. So the devil still lose. Even if you're not on the line, the devil still lost. God, we are still praying for you.
Yes, yes.
We don't see sickness to your name before the Lord is there. I thank the Lord for all you guys. I'm going to ask the elder to come in and pray for the line and close the line, because I have to do some things. I got to get them to church pretty soon. And This one thing is happening. So many people is already calling and sending me emails. They're coming to the revival and they're starting tonight. And I'm excited for what God is going to do because
thank
everything
you.
That flow off the revival is going to flow into me and flow into you all because
absolutely.
You know well, this is the way
yes.
God is doing it. I'm tapped into the
thank
prophet
Jesus.
And every all the water that come into me going to come out of me and come into this line. Believe me, because
yes.
I know what God showed me. God showed me so big last week. I was thinking, I told you all this before, I was thinking, Lord, there's so much happening in the church, and I'm so much is given to me right now, as in the church, as far as ministry is concerned. I'm not talking about financial, because nobody blessing me financially right now, but you know, we know God's blessing us spiritually,
yes.
and I want to shut the line down, because I said, Lord, there's so much I'm doing, I feel like there's so much on me. That's why I asked Evangelist Campbell to take over more. She's going to be doing most of the teaching till I get this thing work out. You know, and I'm telling you, the Lord said, no, you can't shut the line. I don't want you to shut the line down. This is where I'm reaching thousands of people. The Lord said, I'm reaching thousands of people. You can't see who I'm reaching. He said, but I'm reaching thousands of people. People that will not even come to see me or hear me. The Lord
yes.
said, I'm reaching them.
Yes,
he said, I'm reaching them just because of what is released off of this line. He said, people are receiving salvation. People are reaching me. The Lord spoke to me. And I had to repent because I was really thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you're doing so much and you feel like you're doing so much and feel like you're not really doing getting the what you expect, you say, well, you want to shut down. God said, no, I'm reaching people. And it's not about me. It's about what God wants done.
Yes,
that's right.
It's what God wants done. And God said, no, I got the line in control. He said, you're not going to lack anything. This line going to stay open. So I said, okay, Lord, I had to repent for Lord. Because sometimes when you think that you look so good for you, you want to go over there. You know, people say the grass always look good on the other side. But when you get over there, you really realize it's not as green as it ought to be. God said, no, I want you to keep this line open.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do. If there's one person on the line or no person on the line, and Elder Campbell, you, Evangelist Campbell, you know we did that before. If there's one person on the line, I'm still going to come on. We still going to come on. If it's just me and one person, if it's just me and the Holy Ghost, we're going to be on every morning. So we thank God. I need you, Elder, because you're going to teach again tomorrow. I'm not going to do nothing. I got to sing. I got to share a word tonight before the apostle come on. The other apostle that coming to, I got to share a word before he come on. I got to sing and all that. So I'm going to try to control my voice, take control my voice. So, huh? You want a song? Okay.
Give us a song, Pastor. Give us
okay.
a song.
Let me give you a song.
Hallelujah.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy. Holy, we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That song I heard on the YouTube, and I took it to the church. We rehearsed it. And now it's the number one sound, worship sound that the church is calling for. I got a song that I'm working on that the Lord gave me, and I'm getting the melody from the Lord. He gave me the melody, and then I lost the melody this morning. He gave me back, but I'm going to get it together. And this song says, we are in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, and we are holy. This song the Lord gave me. And I tell you, it's a short song, but it's going to be sweet, sweet melodic. Melodic worship song. He says, the word says that we are in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, and we are holy. He said, our minds are new. Our thoughts are pure. We are holy. That's the song the Lord gave me the other day. I was just fooling around, and all of a sudden, Lord dropped that in my spirit, and I started to do it, and it was so sweet. It's so sweet because in the presence of the Lord, we are made new. Our minds are made new in the presence of the Lord. Our thoughts are pure in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, we are holy. We are made holy, not because of anything that we are doing. You must first understand that. But we are made holy because of all that he has done at the cross. You must understand that everything that he has done at the cross has made us holy. Sometimes we allow the enemy, which is called Satan or Diablo, or the idea, but we allow him to come in and mess with our thoughts and make us feel, well, because I don't have a husband, or my husband is acting crazy, or my wife is acting crazy, or my son or daughter is acting a fool, that God is not there. But no, God is purifying you even when you're going through stuff. Even while stuff is coming at you and it seems like all hell is breaking loose over you, God is still making you pure. God is making you holy. God is cleaning your thoughts. God is helping you to deal with every situation that's coming in your life. You are still victorious. You are still more than a conqueror. You must understand that. I see people say, well, my husband leave or my wife leave, I'm going to commit suicide. For what? For what? You still have life. You still have the abundant life. Because Jesus died not for you and your husband. He died for you. And when he's talking to your husband, he died for your husband. But then your husband or your wife must receive that deliverance, must receive that new life. Because he's not going to ask me about my wife. He's not going to ask me about my children. He's asking about me. What have I done with the talents and the gifts that he's given to me? Did I use them to glorify him, or I just use them for myself? Very, very important, people.
Yes,
we are at a place right now in the kingdom that God wants to explore everything that's inside of us. He already knows what's inside of us. God wants to use everything that's inside of us, not some.
All of it.
I hear pastors say, you know, people will go send a check to Benny Hinn or put a check on their, put a thing on their credit card to Benny Hinn for $1,000 because Benny Hinn motivates them so much that they want to write, put themselves in debt for $1,500 or $1,000 to Benny Hinn. But there's some place where they are being taught in their church building or their blog talk where they get it, they're being taught the infallible truths of God, they won't send it down. They won't send it down. They say, well, it's just a computer or it's just a church building I'm going to. But Benny Hinn, they can't call up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, well, Benny Hinn, you know, my son is going through this, or my daughter is going through this, or my aunt is failing with this. Like a woman sent me a message yesterday with somebody in the hospital on a life support system. Yesterday or day before. But they give the church, and the church that they're giving the money to, don't believe in healing. Don't believe in the manifested power of God. But they call me or send me an email. Why? Because I believe that Jesus is a healer. And he's still healing today. All that he did 2,000 years ago, he's still doing today because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You haven't changed? And if you're going to be in ministry, you got to believe in that. That is true doctrine. That is true doctrine. Amen. That is true doctrine. He said if you walk, you follow after him, you'll never walk in darkness. You'll never. And you'll receive the light of life. You'll never walk in darkness. Don't let the enemy come and fool you and say, well, oh my God, you don't have a job, your husband leave, your wife leave, your mama leave, I have your daughter doing this, your son doing it. Man, look, all kids going to do what they want to do. They're going to do what they want to do because some of them are not saved, and the devil going to use them to get at us. Do not allow Satan to take you out of focus because of your son or daughter is acting a fool. I'm not going to let him take me out of focus because my son's acting a fool or my daughter acting a fool. He cannot. I know my calling. I know my assignment. And my assignment is to reach that which is lost. That's my assignment. My assignment is not to go here and concentrate on getting rich. My assignment is not about money. That's why I don't talk a lot about money. Ever so often when I tell you, ask you to send something in, to bless the land, to help us to do what we're doing. But I don't worry about it. I don't worry about it. Why? Because my assignment is not about money. Then he called me. He didn't say, well, son, I'm calling you to get you rich. He said, I called you to go back out there and talk to those people that you used to hang out with, the people that just like you, that act in this that you used to act. That's what he called me and told me. He said, I want you to go back out there and talk to them. That's why we're developing an evangelistic ministry. You said, but you're a pastor. Why are you going in the street? Because that's my calling. My calling is to evangelize, to go out in the street. Not just sit in a church building and say, well, I am an apostle. I'm called to preach and teach the gospel. No, that's not what God's telling me to do. He's telling me to go do the same thing that he did and do greater works. That's what he told me to do. He said, go out and reach that which is lost. Tell them what I did for you. That's what he said. He didn't tell me no whole lot of person that do. Tell them what I did for you. Tell them what I did for you. In other words, what he told me, he said, go share your testimony. I'm going to draw them to me. God said, I'm going to draw them to me. That which is lost, I'm going to draw to me because of your testimony. Because if you look at you and see you wearing a nice suit, you're driving the Escalade, and God has drawn you out of darkness, out of that pit of hell, smoking crack cocaine, womanizing, committing adultery, and God draw you out, they will say, my God. Well, I believe the same God can draw me out too. That's what God told me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. I know some pastors, when they see me and I hear me, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling the honest God truth. Some pastors, when I share stuff like this to the congregation, some pastors roll their nose and look at me. But thank God, the devil can't use that stuff against me again.
Hallelujah.
He cannot use it against me again. Why? Because I know the tricks. I know his tricks. And I'm delivered from his tricks.
Mm-hmm.
He had me, but he made a mistake. He let me go away. And evangelist, come on and pray for the line and close the line. And we already pray for everybody. And
okay.
I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for a prophetess by myself praying for my wife. I felt that prayer so deep into my soul, I'm telling you. And my children, my sons, and your children, and so on. I just thank God that we have warriors that don't mind interceding from the depths of their heart. Because that's what prayer is all about. Prayer is coming from your heart. Prayer is not coming from your head. If you pray from your head, don't say nothing, because it's not going to touch God's heart. It's got to come from your heart to touch God's heart. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not being a PhD. You don't have to be a psychologist. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Some people want to pray like it's so highfalutin. Just telling the truth, coming from your heart to God's heart, will move God. That's what prayer is. Go ahead and close the link for me, daughter.
Okay,
I love
Apostle
you all. Send me. Yes, ma'am.
Apostle Collins, just before we close, I'm reminded that the Holy Spirit gave me the story about Elijah, and that was Naaman, you know, that had the leprosy.
Yes.
Put me in the place where I needed to be while you were talking. The fifth chapter and the 25th verse says, but he went in and stood before his master. This is Gehazi, who was the servant of Elijah. When Elijah asked him, he said, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhither. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? Then he told him for his lying and his deceitfulness, he said, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Be careful how we treat the man of God. Be careful when we make a vow to the Lord. And see, Gehazi wasn't lying to Elijah. He lied to the man of God. I just wanted to give you all that scripture that was coming out of 2 Kings 5, the 5th and 6th chapter. If you read it, you'll understand the story of Elijah and Naaman, the leper. That was 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and it began at the 24th verse, well, 23rd, really, when Naaman come to Elijah to thank him, and he offered him gifts and money, but Elijah, God told Elijah, don't take nothing.
Uh-huh.
God told Elijah, don't take nothing, but Gehazi
thought upon himself to run him down and to tell a lie.
That's right.
He was gone so long that when he got back, Elijah said, "Where whence comest thou?" He said, "Well, I've been nowhere, master." He said, "Did not my heart go with you?" So
that's
what I was saying. Our hearts are connected to the man of God who we are serving. God have us connected to the ones who oversees our life.
And you see, one of the things in that story that you got to see is that Naaman thought that he could buy the gift of God. You cannot buy
the
gift of God.
That's right.
You can't. That's the whole essence of that story. You cannot buy the gift of God. The gift of God is not for sale. That's why it's called a gift. That's why it's called a gift. It's free. And Naaman says, Elijah says, "No man, I'm not. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't take none of that stuff." And then his servant, you always got to watch who you got connected to you as in ministry. You got to watch who you got connected to you, because they will, you know, if you're not really connected, they will bring that curse on you. You know,
that's right.
Because he brought that stuff back, and Elijah had to turn that thing off of him and put it on him. He said, "Look, the same thing that's on Naaman going on you, because it's not going to come to me. I'm not going to receive that curse."
That's right.
The man of God said, "I'm not going to receive that curse, but the curse is going to go on you." Because I already told the man I wasn't going to receive nothing for him, because the gift that God has given to release is not for sale. That's why I know people say, "Well, I'm going to go preach today, and you got to pay me $5,000 to preach." No, I don't go to preach for money. If I go and something give me a love offering, I say, "Well, thank you, God," because I know it came from God. But I don't call somebody, come and say, "Well, how much you going to preach for?" No, don't even come to me that way, because I'm not going to come in your house. I'm not coming to your house, because the gospel is not for sale. Jesus says, "Freely you have received, freely you must give." If they bless you with a love offering, you take it, you say, "Thank God," because it's God that touched their heart for them to give you a love offering. I told the prophets, we would never have in this ministry where we were telling people, "Well, you got to give $1,000 and do that." When I went there, I probably was doing something similar to that, you know. I'm telling people to make a vote to this. I said, "No, you don't do that. You tell people to pray and seek God and see what they want. God want them to bless the ministry first."
Right.
And God would touch their hearts, because that's what he does. He touches their heart. He knows what we need in order for us to go forth and accomplish what he wants done. But don't go and run that motivational stuff that these preachers are doing. "Well, I know the Lord tells me," like one guy, he from Ohio now, he's running the scripture. And the scripture he running the scripture. I can't remember the exact scripture, but I'll give you a kind of analogy of what he's doing. He running the scripture like he said was Hosea chapter 4:19. And he said, "Well, Lord knows, if you give $419, the Lord gonna bless you. That new car you've been waiting on, the Lord gonna release it." Where is it in the Bible that it says that? Wait. It's a counterfeit doctrine.
That's right.
It's a counterfeit doctrine. When people tell you to do that, that's counterfeit doctrine. Pray. God said, "Well, Lord, said, Lord, well, I really would like to bless this ministry. A preacher preaching here is teaching me good, or bless me with your word. Lord, what do you want me to sow seed? What seed do you want me to sow this ministry?" God won't tell you, because he knows what you can afford and what you can't afford. That's how it's done. And if God tell you give $1,000, don't go back and tell God, "Well, God, I'm going to give $800. Because when God tell you that he's going to give you, you want to sow $1,000, it's because God wants to bless you a bigger. He wants to give a bigger amount of blessings in your life. But I know a lot of people come and they say, one lady told me, she said, "Apostle, the Lord told me to bless you with $500. And the woman gave me a check for $200. Well, the next week, guess what happened? Somebody hit a truck. I'm not saying that, because I'm just saying that if God tell you to do something, do exactly what he says. Don't try to second guess God, because God knows better than me and you put together. Don't second guess God.
That's right.
Just do what God says, and you'll get what God says he's going to get to you. Because God ain't going to tell you to do something that he know you can't do. Because he knows everything. But anyhow, I'll just go ahead and close the line. I love you guys so much. I got to get some things done today. I got to get some clothes together and all that stuff, because 5 o'clock, gonna be here in no time. Cause they want me to be at the church at 5 o'clock.
All right. I just want to get that across. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Say what, Apostle?
I said you did well. You did well.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today, God. We thank you for the Resurrection Power Church today, God. We thank you for Apostle Calendar, his first lady, his wife, God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for their children and their family, God. We thank you for the extended families of each and every individual on this line under the sound of my voice right now, God. Thank you for Mother Irene, Sister Christine, and Pastor Marcella, God. Bless the woman of God, God. Keep her, oh God. Strengthen her, oh God. Everything that she pour out, pour back in, oh God. In the name of Jesus, and God, we just ask that you continue to give her strength, God. And as she grow and mature in you, God, not only that will her life change, but her countenance will change, God. Things will begin to melt off her body, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
By her being obedient and seeking your face, God.
Thank you, Lord.
And pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that the meds that she's needing, God, that she won't no longer need them, oh God, in the name
of Jesus.
Just believing you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you do a supernatural wonder in her life, Father, in
yes.
God and Jesus,
yes.
in all of our lives, God. We
yes.
thank you for
yes,
the things you're doing supernaturally. And, Lord, as we depart from this line and not from your presence, God, we just
thank
say
you,
thank you, God, and allow your Holy Spirit to meet us in the morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Evangelist. Send me the topic for what you're going to be teaching on tomorrow
yes.
so I can post
yes.
it. And just remember to tell somebody today when you order, go on your way around the mall, the shopping center, grocery store, whatever, gas station, remember to tell somebody. Even when you go into the little karaoke store, just tell them that Jesus loved them. Just tell them that God loved them and Jesus is the only way. Just remember, one word from God, just one word out of your mouth from God can change somebody's life.
Yes, Lord.
Somebody might look at you with a funny eye, why is she talking to me about Jesus? I don't. But guess what? Once you sow that seed, they cannot dig that seed up.
Yes,
Lord. They can't dig it up because it's sown into their spirit. And they can go down the highway. They may be mad at you. Why are you telling me about Jesus or telling me about God? But guess what? That spirit is going to convict them all day, all night. Because it's love. And if you can't do that to love. Love is pure.
Yes.
Brother, sister, I just want to tell you, I was just looking at you as you come in the store. And I can see God loves you. And Jesus is the only way. Try Jesus sometime. And
yes,
so, don't try to preach nothing to them. Just tell them that. That's simple. I tell people that all the time. They look at me and laugh. But some of them look, turn up their eye and roll their eye. But if they roll or if they laugh or smile, they still got that seed sowed in their heart. And that's all that matters. You know, that's all that matters. I just want to thank God for you guys. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. I speak the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob over you all, Israel, over this line, over us that are part of this line, and even those that listen over Blog Talk Radio, Internet, satellite system. I pray that God may continue to make us the head and not the tail, that he set us above and not beneath, that we be the givers and not the borrowers. I pray that God will bless us in the city and that he will bless us in the field as we continue to follow and obedience to his word. In Jesus' name I pray. I love you guys and God loves you too. Have a great day. I look forward to being here with you all tomorrow morning as the woman of God bring the word and teach. And teach and teach and teach. In Jesus' name, I love you guys. Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Amen.
Nah.